Mindset Transformations Radio Show with your host, Coach Myrna. Do you feel the need to do more with your life? Are limiting beliefs holding you back from true success? Enjoy a unique blend of interviews, discussions, and transformation coaching in every show. Get the tools for success. The Mindset Transformation Radio Show with your host, Coach Myrna.
Welcome to the Mindset Transformation Radio Show and podcast. I am your host, Coach Myrna Young, and I am so happy to be talking to you today. In today's episode, I will be teaching on the 90-10 rule. So it's just going to be me and you today, and no interviews, because I want, as my intention for 2018, is that I help you, my listeners, increase their wealth consciousness and start on their journey towards financial freedom. So, with that said, if you personally made the goal of increasing your earning power in 2018, then fundamentals says that you need to understand the basics of money. And understanding the basics or the fundamentals of anything allows you to master it much easier. So, as we start off, I want to share with you some of the economic principles that govern money. And also, I want to share with you the reason that I chose this topic to start off this money consciousness series, and that is the 90-10 rule. The reason that 90% of the wealth in this country is made from 10% of the population is because the rich understand the fundamentals of money. So that's me and you review it. You may notice already, or it may be some new information. All right? So money or currency is anything used as a means of exchange. Hence, the rise of Bitcoin. Bitcoin is supposed to be replacing money, and it's a currency that can be traded. In the olden days, when I had my limousine service, I used to do a lot of trading or bartering, which means that you trade services for services. So these are some of the things that can be used as currency other than money. So money circulates in the economy through the federal government, at least in the United States. The federal government's main customer is the U.S. Treasury. And the federal government collects or makes money through tax payments from all the citizens of the country and the businesses. And they deposit those income generated from tax payments into the U.S. Treasury. The U.S. Treasury then pays the government's bills, example, the Social Security checks, interest payments on Treasury bills and bonds, Medicare, and oversees the operations of the nation's commercial banks. So the main job of the federal government is to establish the U.S. economic policy. And they do that by controlling the flow of money. When the country is trending towards high inflation, the federal government slows down the economy by selling securities, that is, bonds and treasury notes. And this removes cash from the market that would otherwise be available for lending. In this way, the federal government slows borrowing, forcing interest rates up, and cools the overheating economy. On the flip side of this, if there isn't enough money in circulation or there's low inflation, and that is felt when nobody's spending any money, nobody's buying any cars, nobody's buying any houses, nobody's doing anything, the feds have to stimulate the economy by buying securities or printing more money. We've heard the term, you want me to print some money? Well, the federal government does it all the time. And when they do that, they put more money into the economy and everybody is happy because the banks are lending, people are buying cars, people are buying houses, because the economy needs to be stimulated. Nobody wants to be in the Great Depression when nobody has any money to buy anything. So that is not the ultimate goal. Another tool the federal government has at its disposal is interest rates. When the federal government increases the discount rates to the banks borrow less and thus have less cash to lend to their customers. The government borrows by selling securities. The more the government borrows, the higher the interest rates, which, you know, we talk about the deficit and all those things and how it affects the economy. So let's digress a little bit and just understand what exactly is inflation. Inflation occurs whenever prices rise because of increased cost associated with production, but production itself stays the same, right? And sometimes inflation can help create wealth, especially when investments increase in value faster than the inflation rate, as can happen in real estate, my favorite subject. And one of the reasons for the real estate bust, as you can remember or not, of 2008 was because interest rates were rising and everybody wanted to buy homes before the interest rates go any higher, driving up the demand, driving up the prices. And of course, the mortgage brokers were only happy to lend unqualified people, and that was another reason for the bust. But the main reason was the fact that prices went up through the roof, and that's because of demand. So one of the important things about money and understanding it is understanding that when demand exceeds the supply, prices rise. But when supply exceeds demand, prices fall. All right. So now that I have reviewed and given you some background information on the fundamentals of economics and inflation and the government's part in all this, let me branch off into my topic today. And as I mentioned, today, I want to talk to you about the 90-10 rule as it pertains to wealth. Now, you've probably heard of this same rule called the 80-20 rule as it pertains to, you know, most other things in life. For instance, salespersons know that, you know, 80% of their income is going to come from 20% of their sales. Business owners know the same thing, that, you know, 80% of their revenues are going to be generated from 20% of their customers. And we all know that, you know, 20% of efforts generates 90% of the results. But in wealth, it goes even, you know, much sharper. In wealth, it is 90-10 or even 95-5. Because if you look at the statistics, then the very, very rich are, you know, the very, very poor make up most of the population, and the rich are, you know, the people that are making, you know, the millions of dollars and the billions of dollars. They keep getting richer while the poor keeps getting poorer. So you need to understand what they know. And that's why I specifically want to target this talk today to the millennials. Because the millennials, you guys are now starting out. And when you're starting out, it's a good time to build the foundation of your mindset. It's a good time to make some determinations of how you want to live your life. What do you want to do with it, and how do you want to grow old, and how much money you want when you retire and all that. When you're in your 50s or 60s, it's a little hard to make that shift. So the millennials is who I am today, but of course, you know, this can work for any particular person. So, all right. So, as a young person starting out in life, you should make the determination not to be in the 90% bucket. The 90% bucket is the people who choose comfort and security instead of being rich. You have to choose to be rich. You know, and as a coach, I would like to teach you to be a part of the 10%. But like any skill, it takes practice to get the desired results. It takes reading and learning and coaching and determination. And the starting point is always the mind. You must have the intention to make more than enough. You must have the intention to be more than enough and not be contented with just scraping by, just working every day to pay your bills. Decide today that you're going to have a quality life that allows you the freedom to travel, to eat at great restaurants, to purchase a luxury home in a great neighborhood, that your kids will go to great schools and get a quality education. It all starts with your intention. And if you don't set the intention, then you're just going to be happy with status quo. Now, thanks to the electronic revolution, it is now possible for more and more people to gain access to the world of wealth. It is possible to be in that 10% bracket and become wealth conscious. It's not only delegated now to the Warren Buffetts of the world and the Bill Gates of the world. Everybody can get a piece of the action. And you might think that wealth can only take the form of investing in stocks. I think you must know by now that you never become rich working for someone else. So let me put that out there right now. You know, that should be your starting point, but it should never be your ending point, right? But some other ways that you can become wealthy other than stocks is investing in real estate, either by buying your first primary residence or investment property where you invest so that you can flip them or you can have passive income from rental, from the rents you receive. You can also become wealthy by becoming an entrepreneur and building and selling products. Lots of millionaires, sell, something that they can make money on, whether they build it and they sell it. So that's one way to become wealthy. Network marketing is now hot, right? Lots of people have become wealthy by multi-level marketing or network marketing. And as I mentioned, you can build your products and you can also sell consumer goods. Some new ones on the market is selling of informational products, right? That is probably one of the biggest new ways of becoming millionaires because everybody wants information and how to be better than they are today. That's what I'm selling, information, teaching you how to live your best life now. And publishing and online marketing. Yeah, we all know, publishing has been around for ages. You know, you write a book, takes you, a week, a month, sometimes 5 years to write the book, and you write it once, and then it just keeps selling and selling and selling and bringing you more money all the time, especially if you have a good marketing way of doing it. And so publishing is one of the ways that you can become rich. And online marketing fits into that same publishing niche. You know, YouTube is now a way for people to become millionaires. Online marketing. So those are some of the ways and some of the forms that wealth can take. But what I want to leave with you today, one of the most important things I want to leave with you today, is that everything evolves, right? And we have now shifted from the industrial age to the information age. We, our grandparents and our great-grandparents are, you know, they have a whole different mindset than you, the millennials, today have, right? Let me give you a couple of examples. Your grandparents believed that you should study hard, get a degree, and get a good-paying, secure job, right? In the information age, statistics show that most jobs will become obsolete in 10 years. So in addition to studying hard and getting a degree, you must also become financially literate, which is what I'm trying to teach you. You must learn how to make money from passive income streams. You must learn how to make money other than going to work and getting a paycheck, because that's not going to cut it, right? Now, there's different kinds of vocations as well, right? There's a quote here that says that unless a man enters upon the vocation intended for him by nature and best suited to his particular genius, he cannot succeed. So it's very important to choose the right vocation. I'm going to talk about that a little later in the segment, right? Another difference in the industrial age to the information age that's different from your grandparents is that your grandparents were told by their parents to save money in the bank for their retirement or for a rainy day. And we now know if you put money in the bank, we get a whopping 1%. Nothing is going to go anything with that. So you have to learn to invest it. In the information age, you save for your retirement by investing in product other than in a bank, like the products I just mentioned earlier, in learning how to invest in the stock market, right? So to wrap that part up, I want to leave you in another quote. It says, "The foundations for success does not change with times. Like the Word of God, it is the same yesterday, today, and forever." So I'm going to take a quick station break now so that you can hear a word from our sponsors, and then I'm going to be right back in the second half to talk to you about some of the foundations for success that transcends both the industrial age and the information age, because these concepts are the same yesterday, they are the same today, and it will be the same forever. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
I traveled the world for almost 4 decades, and I met some extraordinary people along the way, one of which was a young man in the Republic of South Africa. Now, this young man grew up under the apartheid regime. The general consensus at that time was that people of his persuasion had a smaller brain capacity than that of the European. That they were untrainable and could only undertake simple work which demanded only a low skill level. He grew up listening to these words and formed a belief system based on his thought. Untrainable. You see, if you tell a man that he's incapable for long enough, he will start to believe you. Tell a man we're untrainable. When the truth is manipulated, a false sense of reality is then created. We're untrainable. Which in turn promotes a limited perspective on human potential and will keep people trapped. Right. Trapped in a state of perpetual mental servitude.
We're untrainable. We're untrainable.
Tell a man
we're untrainable.
Trapped in a state of perpetual mental servitude.
We're untrainable.
But there came a time in this young man's life when he started to dispute these ideas because he found something. Something called self-belief. And against all the odds, he applied for a trade apprenticeship within the aviation industry. His family and friends thought he had gone absolutely crazy. Why? Because under normal circumstances, a position like that was reserved only for the people who were born with a complexion for connection. His application was successful. From that moment on, his mindset changed. And he embraced that change. and started to become more and more distracted from his old belief system and became more and more inspired. Mindset change. You see, once the mind has been expanded, it will never return to its former state. Mindset change. The mind became more and more inspired.
Welcome back to the Mindset Transformation Radio Show. I'm your host, Coach Myrna Young. And today we are talking about the 90-10 rule as it pertains to wealth and wealth consciousness. In the first segment, I talked to you about the introduction to the 90-10 rule. I talked to you about some of the ways that we can become wealthy these days other than in the stock market. So as I go into the second half, what I want to share with you now are 10 foundations for success that transcends the industrial age and the information age. These are concepts or foundations that are were the same yesterday, they are the same today, and they will be same tomorrow. So let's briefly recap them. The first one is good health. The foundation of success in life is good health. It is also the basis of happiness. A person cannot accumulate a fortune very well when he is sick. When we are sick, we have no ambition, no incentive, no force, no energy, because we do not feel good. And, of course, there are those who have bad health and cannot help it. But you cannot expect such a person to accumulate wealth. And there are many in poor health that do not need to be. You have to make the intention by your healthy lifestyle to be in good health, because our bodies do not take care of themselves very well when we live unconsciously, right? We got to exercise, we got to eat right, we got to eliminate stress. And there, and when you do that, the end product will be good health. We also need to have a clear mind. To make money, it requires a clear brain. A man has got to see that 2 and 2 make 4. He must lay all his plans with reflection and forethought, and closely examining all the details and the ins and outs of his business. As no man can succeed in business unless he has a brain to enable him to lay his plans and reason to guide him in their execution. So, no matter how bountifully a man may be blessed with intelligence, if his brain is muddled and his judgment warped by intoxicating drinks or drugs, it is impossible for him to carry on his business successfully. 3, choose the right vocation. Unless a man enters upon the vocation intended for him by nature and best suited to his particular genius, he cannot succeed. I believe that the majority of persons do not find their right vocation. As a coach, I see that all the time, especially in the millennials. You come out of high school or college and you go to a guidance counselor, and the guidance counselor suggests the vocation for you. But the way we should do it and choose a vocation is we've got to understand our purpose. We've got to understand our special skills and talents. And then we pick a vocation, you know, like it said, suited to your particular genius, because you do have a particular genius. There is something that you came on this earth to do, and only you can do it at its maximum. So, do not enter into a vocation determined by just an annual salary or other factors other than your passion and your purpose. 4, selecting the right vocation. After securing the right vocation, you must be careful to select the proper location. You may have been cut out for a job in Silicon Valley. They say that you're a genius, but you work in Detroit. You may be able to run a hotel like Ivana Trump, but you live in a city with 2,000 people. Your location would be your ruin. Do not stick in a location that does not suit your genius. Make the move. You know, I was just listening to Ed Sheeran, his biography, and it's absolutely amazing. Yeah, we have so many role models of people that have moved out of their comfort zone. Yeah, he came to L.A. with no money, no job, no prospects. But he knew that if he wanted to be in music, then L.A. is where he has to go. He slept in subway stations and all over until, you know, somebody gave him a break. I think it was Jamie Foxx gave him a break by bringing him on his radio station. So you see, radio sometimes plays an important role in making people's lives better. But yeah, if you're in a relocation that does not fit with your genius, then move, right? It's also equally important when you're starting a business. Don't start a business in a location that already has more than enough of what it is that you're selling, because then you're just going to be competing with everyone else, and you're going to have to lower your prices to compete, and it's just going to be, you know, it's not going to end well for you. So choose your location correctly. Number five, avoid consumer debt. I know as young people, we're always excited when somebody gives you credit, and you don't have the discipline yet to probably, you know, use bad debt or use debt properly. So most of your debt is going to be bad debt. You know, and young men and women starting out in life should avoid running into bad debt. There's scarcely anything that drags a person down more than bad debt. Credit card purchases for clothes and shoes and designer purses. I mean, if you succeed in paying off these credit cards, and then as soon as you pay them off, then you go and you spend more and you get more credit again, then that habit is going to keep you in poverty throughout your life. Right? And throughout your life, what you're going to be doing is you're going to be in that 90% bucket that work for 12-hour days, and all they're doing is paying for debt. You know, whenever you get paid, it goes directly into bills, and you have nothing left over to live or to enjoy life, right? There's a term for that, and it's called working for a dead horse, right? Because you're just working to pay what's already in the bucket, right? You can't get anything new. So be careful with your bad debt. And perseverance. You know, when a man is on the right path, he must persevere. I speak of this because there's some persons who are born tired. They're naturally lazy, and they possess no self-reliance and no perseverance skills. As soon as something hits them, they stay down. They have none of the, you know, the fight to get back up. You know? So when something knocks them down before they reach their goal, then they just lose faith in themselves because of the disappointment and the failure. And they give up on the golden prize, sometimes forever. And if you hesitate, some bolder hand will stretch out before you and get your prize. There's always something. There's always somebody hungrier than you to take what you don't want. It's true. So perseverance is but another word for self-reliance. And I've heard many, many stories of men who have met with major losses, disappointment, and rejection, and they have bridged them over by simple perseverance. Also, aided by the firm belief that they have favor with God and that providence would overcome evil with good. And I see this illustrated in all spheres of life. So, remember to persevere. You will always win if you don't quit. All right, we're moving on along. So, number 7, whatever you do, do it with all your might. Work at it, if necessary, early and late, in season and out of season, not leaving a stone unturned, and never deferring for a single hour that which can be done just as well now. My grandmother always used to say, never put off for tomorrow what you can do today. There's also an old proverb that's full of truth and meaning. Whatever is worth doing at all is worth doing well. Many acquires a fortune by doing his business in excellence, while his neighbor remains poor for life because he always does a half-assed job. So, ambition, energy, industry, perseverance are all indispensable prerequisites for success in any business and in any vocation. Number 8, get above waiting for someone to die. How many times have I heard somebody say, I will tell you, I have an old wealthy aunt and she's going to die pretty soon. And when she does, I'm going to expect to get some of her inheritance. Or if she doesn't give me anything, then I expect some rich old man will lend me a few $1,000s. Or a rich old woman, depending on your gender, will lend me a few $1,000s to give me a start. And if I can get the money to start, then I will do well. Not so. There is no greater mistake when a young man believes he will only succeed with borrowed money or handouts. Money is good for nothing unless you know the value of it by experience. Give a boy $20,000 to start a business, and chances are he will lose every single dollar of it before he's just a year older. So it's like buying a lottery ticket or, you know, and drawing a prize. It is easy come, easy go. You do not know the value of money unless it costs effort. Without self-denial and economy, patience and perseverance, money will have no value to you. And all you have to do is look at history. 9 out of 10 of the rich men in our country today started out in life as poor boys with determined wills, industry, perseverance, economy, and good habits. So, work for your first $1,000 or whatever you want to start off with, and use that as seed for your business. Number 9, do not scatter your skills. It is said that you should engage in one kind of business only and stick to it faithfully until you succeed or until your experience shows that you should abandon it. A constant hammering on one nail will generally drive it home at last so that it can be clenched. When a man's undivided attention is centered on one object, his mind will constantly be suggesting improvements of value, which would escape him if his brain was occupied by a dozen different subjects at once. Many a fortune has slipped through a man's fingers because he was engaged in too many occupations at one time. There is a good sense in the old caution against having too many fires at once, or too many cooks in the kitchen, as my grandmother would say. All right, we're plowing through this. And finally, number 10, be systematic. Men should be systematic in their business. That is, create a system that's duplicatable so that when you are not there, someone else can take over and do the same thing and get the same results. By introducing a system into all your transactions, doing one thing at a time, for example, always meeting appointments with punctuality, you find leisure for pastime and recreation. Whereas a man who only does half of one thing, then turns to something else and he does half of that, will have his business at loose ends and will never know when his day's work is done, for it really never will be done, right? He was always going to have something half to do. Of course, there's a limit to all these rules. You know, we must try to preserve a happy medium. For example, there is such a thing as being too systematic. There are men and women, for instance, who put things away so carefully that they can never find them again. And I've been one of those people sometimes. So, all right. So those were the 10 foundations for success that we just went through. I hope you found value and maybe found some aha things that you didn't know before. You know, some of them were obvious and some of them might be new to you. But we're going to take a break now and come back in a little bit to, you know, with our final segment. So stay tuned. We are going to be right back.
At the time I met this young man, he was already an established tradesman. And that's when he started to tell me his story. One of the things he told me was how amazed he was when he started his training. He realized that he was as capable as anyone in his group, and even better than some. Mindset changed. He completed his training and went on to become a leader in his field. He was eventually selected to take a position in the company as a planning engineer. Planning engineer. This young man only achieved success because he dared to dispute the general consensus in the community in which he lived. And he embraced that change. There is something that this young man does not know until this very day. It is how he influenced me to make a change in my own life. Just by telling me his story. What is in your story?
What is in your story?
What changes are you prepared to embrace?
What is in your story?
To ensure your success.
Embrace that change.
You see, once the mind has been expanded, it will never return to its former state.
What is in your story?
What changes are you prepared to embrace to ensure your success?
Embrace that change. Embrace that change. Embrace that change. Embrace that change.
Welcome back to the Mindset Transformation Radio Show and Podcast. I'm your host, Coach Myrna Young. And as we get into our final segment, let's recap what we've spoken about in our first two segments. In today's episode, we are talking about the fundamentals of money, specifically the 90-10 rule in wealth creation. Because if you want to be in that 10% bucket, which are the 10% people that make, you know, 90% of the wealth, then we have to understand money, and we have to understand economics, and we have to understand some fundamentals of success. So in the last segment, we discussed 10 characteristics for success. Let me just recap them here for you again. Good health, clear mind, choosing the right vocation, choosing the right location, avoiding bad debt, perseverance, working in excellence, not waiting for someone to die so that you can get their money, sticking to one business adventure at a time, and number 10, being systematic. So as we close, I want to let you know that as a life and success coach, I would like to offer my services to help you in your accumulation of your wealth goals in 2018. I can help you with 3 of the wealth indicators mentioned earlier. Number 1, I can help you with if you want to invest in real estate. Number 2, I can help you if you want to put together an informational product to sell on something that you're skilled at. I can help you if you want to write your book, that if you've got a story that's worth telling and you just need help, you know, putting your thoughts together on paper and, you know, formatting your chapters. And I can help you with online marketing, either that book or anything else informationally that you want to market. As a realtor investor, I can help you find your first home or help you build wealth by finding discount properties to invest for your real estate investment business, be it rehab properties that you want to purchase and make some quick money by flipping it, or generating passive income with what we call buy and hold properties, which is properties that you buy and then you just rent them out for a positive cash flow, and that gives you passive income. And when you do that, you're betting on 2 things. You're betting that you're going to make passive income from your rent, and you're also betting that when you do sell the property, you would also make a profit on it. So if real estate investment is one of the ways that you want to generate wealth, I would love to help. Contact me on the web for a list of my off-market properties as well as the properties that are listed on the MLS. And you can contact me on my website at www.myrnayounghelps.com. That is MYRNAYOUNGHELPS.com. Now, as a life coach, I can also help you to design your informational products around your specialty or niche market. Think Tony Robbins. Tony Robbins has made millions off his personal power informational products. Robert Kiyosaki has made millions off of his Choose to Be Rich informational products. Mike Vu has made millions off of his How to Buy Properties with No Money Down products, right? There is millions to be made if you find a niche market that has, you know, that people want to buy, and you've got some valuable information to share. Also, as an author of 3 books, a podcaster, a blogger, a YouTuber, I can also help you write that book that God placed inside of you, help you market it on Amazon, social media, YouTube, and get your interviews also to promote. All right, so that is the end of our show for today. I want to encourage you to tune in next week at the same time as we continue the series on becoming wealth conscious in 2018. If you have a topic that you would like me to speak on and you have some requests, then please leave a comment on my blog, which can be found at blog.myhelps.us. Also, please remember to subscribe to the iTunes podcast and leave a review. I would be so grateful. The iTunes podcast is called the Transform Your Mind with Coach Myrna. And, of course, it's available on not only iTunes, but all of the podcast players. So, I would like to thank you for tuning in to the Mindset Radio Show and the Transform Your Mind podcast with Coach Myrna. Until next time, namaste.